Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Prozy's Corner. We are two BFFs that inspire, empower, and elevate. My name is Nikki W. I'm your co-host. We have your host, author Mar Prose.
Good morning.
Today we have a fantastic show. I say that every Saturday, but we do. We have some very talented individuals today. We have Dwayne Jones and Lane Lovegrove on today. First off, we're going to start with Dwayne. He's a fantastic artist, and I can't wait for you to hear more about him. Good morning, Dwayne.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Welcome to the show. Good.
Thank you so much.
Good.
Thank you so much.
We're really happy to have you on. You're so talented, and I want other people to know and see your work. So just tell us, how did you get started in your graphic design?
Well, basically, you know, as far as graphic art is concerned, I started off just doing it for fun, you know. I used to go on the computer and just play with images, and, you know, friends would call me and want me to, you know, do pictures of them as superheroes or maybe on an island somewhere or you know, certain scenes in the background, you know. And as time
right.
went on, it just really, really caught on. I started getting more and more attention, and, you know, all of a sudden people started, you know, calling me and inboxing me and actually wanting to buy pictures. So I said, you know, let me take this a little bit more serious. So, you know, I went online, gave myself a couple of courses, you know, in the Photoshop and a couple of other programs, you know, took some online courses, and you know, it caught on from there. You know, I'm still learning as I'm, you know, as I'm going along. But you know, I really appreciate, you know, the people for, you know, supporting me like this and the comments that I'm getting and the inboxes and the sales. You know, I'm really, really thankful for that. Really thankful.
Right, that's pretty brave. Number one, for you to be able to teach yourself, and you know, pretty smart, teach yourself how to do the graphic design. I don't even know where I would begin with that. I guess I have to have an artistic mind to even know and want to know how to draw and want to know how to paint and things like that. But you just took it upon yourself
right.
to do it. Did you ever draw, like hand draw or paint or anything before you started doing this?
Well, just a little, but you know, truthfully, you know, I was okay at drawing, but I wasn't too great. I mean, like if I was to just, you know, try to just sell things I drew, you know, I don't know if I would do so great, but I was very, very good with the computer as far as, like, editing and colors and, you know, blending and, you know. And, I mean, even before I took the online classes, the images and the things I did, you know, they looked so nice to me anyway before I started showing them. Once I started showing them, you know, and the comments I was getting and the things people were saying, you know, it really inspired me to really, really go further, you know. So that's
right.
when
You're
I really
like, whoa,
took it
maybe I could
started.
Do something with this.
Yeah, because you know when it's almost like if you're in the bathroom singing to yourself. You know, of course you think you sound good. You know,
yeah.
So the things that I was doing, you know, I thought they looked okay, but I was too shy to show them. Once I started showing them, people really, really said, you know, wow, you really got something here. You know, you should really take it further. So you know, and I if I could, I would do this 24/7. I didn't sit in this chair until my legs went numb doing pictures, you know. But
right.
You know,
how
I guess
long?
I guess when you, I'm sorry, what you say?
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, what I was saying is, you know, I guess when you're really into something and you enjoy doing it, that's what makes it even, you know, more better, you know, more fun, you know.
Right. So do you get inspiration, or do you, is it something that inspires you to do your art? Do you see something,
you know,
I
think a lot of artists go through the same thing. Some days, you know, I'm really inspired with something. And, you know, there's been times where, you know, I've sat up for hours and hours and trying to really put something together, and it comes out okay, but not to my liking. And, you know, and it's just okay, and I'm not really satisfied with it. I don't really try to
right.
do too much with it, you know. But as far as inspiration,
mm-hmm.
I got to honestly say it's the people that inspire me. You know, the things they
mm-hmm.
say, you know, it really, really, really inspired me, you know.
Right.
And that's what keeps me going. It really keeps me going.
What made you put out your first piece of work to actually show people? What made you say, you know what, I'm going to show people and see what they say?
You know, one day
was
I was at work, and
mm-hmm.
I was at work one day, and I had did a picture, and a real good friend of mine, Anthony Sutton, he, you know, looked at something I did, and he was like, you know, Dwayne, you know, that's really, really good. You know, and I said, thank you. But the way I said thank you, looked at me like, he said, no, you don't understand. I'm not just complimenting you. I think that's
yeah.
really, really, really good, you know. And, you know, long story short, you know, my partner, Susan Wallace, you know, she seen things that I was doing, and she said, you know, you really, really should take this to another level. So me and her ventured out. We got some equipment and a couple of other things, you know, we established ourselves, and I started really going from there, and, you know, and like I said, learning, taking the online classes and really getting into blending colors and really digging deep inside myself. Like, I would see images inside my head. Sometimes they would come out better or, you know, just exactly as I seen them, you know. And once I started posting things and people started really, you know, looking at what I was doing, and really the compliments I was getting was like, really like, wow, you know, it really, really inspired me a whole lot. A whole lot.
And,
so I really, really thank the people.
Sometimes we're our worst enemy. You could have helped. We hold on to stuff because we don't want other people to see it, but because we don't think it's good. And then when we put it out there, and look what happened with you. You put it out there, and people really enjoyed your work.
Right, exactly. And it's the people that really did it for me. I mean, it's been nice. I'm sitting there sleeping and, you know, I'm tossing and turning, and I'm like, I wonder what they say about me on Facebook. I'm popping up all times of the night, checking my inboxes, and the inboxes is full of comments. And, you know, I'm like, wow, it really, really was inspiring.
Right. So how long does it take you to work on a piece for someone or something that you're going to come up with?
It all depends, you know, what I see and what I'm feeling. I mean, there's times where some pieces took me like 2 to 3 days, and sometimes within like a couple of hours, like 4 to 5 hours, you know, I have something pretty decent. So it really all depends on, you know, what I'm doing and what's in my head, and as I go along, how it's coming out. You know, if I'm going to finish it or take another route, you know. I'm pretty sure, and any other artist out there that's listening can really tell you, art is really, really tricky. You know, some days is better than others, you know. And even sometimes you can do something whereas you think, nah, I don't like this. And I post it anyway, and all of a sudden, I mean, hundreds of likes, and I'm like, wow, what's going on? You know, and
yeah.
So I guess it's the eye of the beholder, right, exactly.
Right. I know I like the one that you posted, natural, and then one, it was lips, something lips. Those are beautiful.
Okay,
I mean,
they
look so lifelike, you know.
Thank you very much. And for all the listeners out there, I want to just stress once again, you know, I'm a graphic artist, yes, and I do all my work on the computer, you know, so that way I can transfer. I transfer most of my stuff on large canvases. You know, I put lots of resolution in there so the pictures come out really clear. I transfer them on canvas because that's one of the questions I'm always getting from people, especially other artists, you know, what's your medium, you know. And I'm graphic artist. And this one person I went through something with, you know, she said, what's my medium? So I told her, you know, I was a graphic artist, you know, I use C6. But she was like, no, exactly how do you do it? So I said, listen, you know, grandma don't tell what's inside the cookies, so, you know, I'm not going to tell you, like, you know, my procedure,
yeah.
my sis, but just know that, you know, it's graphic art.
Yeah, and you probably can't just learn by you. Somebody probably can't learn by you just telling them because it's so technical. You use different programs and you do different techniques with each program. So it's not something that you
exactly.
Let me just tell you two or three things and then you're done, you know.
Exactly. You know, I think the only one that can probably work the programs to its full capacity are the designers because
uh-huh.
each program have thousands and thousands of ways to do something. So everybody creates their own style, you know. Like
right.
there's, I mean, just to do one thing, whether you're shading something or putting light on something, it's like thousands of ways just to do this one thing, you know. So everybody has their own style and their own ways. So when people come to me for advice,
right.
the best advice I can really give them is, I mean, YouTube has everything on there. So I tell them, you know, go to YouTube
oh,
and
man.
Take some classes.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can also develop your own style, you know, just play around with it.
Mm-hmm. I never asked you though, but when did you start doing this? How many years have you been doing this to be self-taught?
I say I've been doing it now for 7 years.
That's not bad.
7 years
I mean,
I've been doing it. Right, 7 years.
You look like you were born doing it. It's fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, like I said, it's all about insight. That's the beautiful thing about
right.
art. Everybody has their own, you know, perception of what something should look like, you know, and everybody
mm-hmm.
have their own idea of, you know, what either abstract should look like or just the portrait or, you know, and I guess it's with what's within you.
Mm-hmm. So this isn't your full-time.
No, this isn't my full-time job at all.
Right. That's inspiration
no, no.
enough because there's people out there that put their dreams, what they would really like to do, on the back burner thinking they don't have time. And look at, you know, you have a full-time job and you're doing this in your part-time when you have time and you're still, you know, putting
it
out
so
there.
Funny
so
because,
I,
you know,
that's good.
I work midnight and, you know, and I'm a personal trainer
Oof.
At the gym, you know. I'll come home in the morning, and then I'll go to the gym, and I'll sit here and say, well, I'll probably just sit here for about 2 or 3 hours and just put some, you know. So you know it, it's way past my bedtime, and I'm getting up, and I'm so tired. And oh, but, you know, like I said, when you're doing something that you love, you know, I mean,
yeah.
you take pride in it, and you put your all into it. You really put your all into it. I really love what I'm doing.
Yeah, when you love what you're doing, you don't even realize how long you've been sitting there. Like you say, you stand up and don't realize, oh, I haven't eaten. Oh, my knees are locked up. You've been sitting there all that time working on your piece. But
I sit here so every toe on my body is numb.
But it's all worth it in the end.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's really fascinating, even to myself.
Right. Go ahead, finish.
Oh, I was saying it's even really fascinating to myself to actually see when I'm done how something comes out, you know. And one of the tips I can really give a person is, you know, when I'm finished, I'll turn the computer off completely, you know, and I'll wait for maybe an hour or two, and I'll come back and look at the
mm-hmm.
picture. Now, the whole thing is
uh-huh.
once I turn on the computer and I look at the picture, I can't say, like, it's okay, or, you know, I mean, I have to look at it, and within 1 second, I have to be like, wow. You know,
It has to grab you.
No guessing. Right, exactly. It has to grab me. Then if it doesn't, I know it came out okay. But there's been times I've spent,
right.
like, 2 days or hours on a picture and look at it, and I'm like, no, this is not happening, you know, so I'll just disregard it.
Yeah. So do you have any exhibits or anything coming up?
Well, I have a couple of things coming up, but you know, I'm still trying to prepare. Every time I think I'm ready, and, you know, things just start
yeah.
getting better, and, you know, I really want to put my best out there, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I'm working on something with someone downtown north, and also with another company. I'm working with something, and as a matter of fact, they're on the West Coast. They're supposed to be having something coming up in New York, but I'm not sure if I'll be ready for that exhibit or not, because, you know, I'm just basically getting with these people, and, you know, this thing was already in progress. So, you know, but I keep everybody posted on my page of, you know, exactly what's going on. But I'm just starting out. You know, anybody out there have any exhibits coming up, anything like that, just give me a holler, and I'm with it.
Right. Do you have pieces made already that you just post and then you sell it from there?
Yes. Well, what I do is I'll post, and most of the times I'll just order the canvases already so I can just have them, you know, tangible already as far as, you know, with myself, you know. But most of the time people are, you know, they'll inbox me and they'll tell me what they want and what size they want, you know, and I'll try to make it happen from there. That's the one good thing, too, about, you know, doing graphic arts. You can basically satisfy the person from the size that they need, and, you know, if they want it on a canvas or on a board or, you know. So that's one good thing.
That's amazing. And you steadily keep keeping yourself educated because programs change. Do you work with only one program at a time?
No.
Or you work with multiple?
That's a good question. Everything I do is not done in just one program. I'll bounce it around many times as I have to get exactly what I want. So, in other words, I mean, when I do a picture, if I had to do the same exact picture over again, I couldn't, because, you know, I create as I go along, and I bounce it here to there, you know, until I get exactly what I want. But, no, I don't just use one program. It's several that I use, several.
So you want to give your information, let people know how to order your stuff?
Well, what you can do is you can go to spoilers.com. That's SPOYLERZ.com, and that link will take you right to my page.
Okay.
Right now, I'm actually in the making of designing a website for myself, but I'm, you know, it's still under construction. I'm not done yet, but right now, spoilers.com is where you can actually reach me.
Okay, that's good. I want that people to get out there, because for the listeners, if you need to really look at his work, it's amazing. I mean, when I went through his Facebook page and was looking at everything that he had posted, I've never seen anything like it, honestly. At first, I was just looking at the pictures. I thought you had painted it. And I was like, no, let me keep looking. I was like, okay, no, this is digital. This is awesome. To take the time to put all this together. This is awesome. So I really hope people go to your website, your Facebook. And then, you know, when you do have those exhibits come up, you message me and Mar. If you have other stuff come up, we'd like to have you back on the show. But Mar wanted me to let you know that she plans to order soon. So I know I like natural, and I told you I like lips. My walls are bare in my apartment.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You have new customers. You definitely have new customers.
You do, Dwayne. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm sorry. We just now got to the gate. So, but no, you are super talented.
Thank you. I really appreciate you guys having me on. I really, really do. Thank you so much.
Yeah, definitely come back and keep us posted, because I plan to fill my house with it. So I'm excited.
Thank you so much.
I really appreciate it.
See, it's people like you that keep me going. That's what keeps me going.
All right.
Yeah, I got to help
That's
Nikki.
Good.
We'll get her
together.
My walls.
People come over and I'm like, you don't have anything on your walls. I'm like, no. Am I supposed to?
We got to get something up there.
I know, and there's nothing on the wall. Yeah, that's people's complaint. You need to put stuff on your walls. They're too plain. So, hey, maybe I'll get natural. Put it somewhere in my house.
Okay, I'm ready. Whenever you are, I'm ready.
Okay. I'm going to also post your information out to people that I know that like art like that. So I really hope you get many, many messages about your work.
And Dwayne, what I'll do also is take notes from our interview today. Sunday.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
You broke up.
She broke up. I didn't hear her.
Uh-huh.
And she's the busy one, huh? I think we lost her.
She's probably trying to get through all the hustle and bustle first.
Okay.
Are you gonna stick around, or you gonna go ahead and get your Saturday started?
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and get my Saturday started. I had a gym class this morning that I had to let them know I had to cancel on them. So I'll probably get maybe to work out in and spend some time with the family and get ready. And then I have to do the other job tonight, the one that I'm not too crazy about, but
right. Well, good luck with that one, too.
Yeah.
Thank you again, Dwayne. Thank you for coming on the show. Please come back. Keep us posted on everything that you're doing.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
You're very welcome. So next, we have Lane Lovegrove. He is an actor. He has lots to tell us today. So, Lane, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Good morning, Nikki. Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here. And if Mara's back on, good morning, Mara.
Yeah.
If not, then I'll catch you in a
good
second.
Good morning. I'm back. Can y'all
there you
me?
Are.
Yeah, yes. We can hear you.
Okay.
And so, Lane is just now coming on. You broke up at the end, but Dwayne had to leave, so he didn't hear your last message.
Oh, I was just saying that what I'm going to try, I'm starting something new where I'm going to take the notes from today and do that for Mara Pro's Monday. So everybody will have contact information from the blog, too.
Right, right. So Lane,
excellent.
At the end, we'll collect all this and she'll post it on her blog on Monday.
Okay, great.
So tell us, Lane, tell us how you got started in acting.
Well, I have a pretty interesting story. I started later than a lot of actors do. I didn't start acting until I was in my mid-30s. I'm 42 now. Well, technically, I'll be 42 in a couple weeks. But
Thank you.
It'll be August 5th, actually. So it's got more than a few weeks, I think. But I didn't start until I was probably in my – yeah, well, I had to think about what time of the year it was. But anyway, I didn't start until I was probably in my late 30s, maybe 36 or 7. And something I always wanted to do when I was a kid, I studied acting in college. I was in college plays. You know, I thought, you know, I'd like to be an actor one day. And then, you know, life kind of hits you. Like, oh, well, you know, I'm doing things. And, you know, I don't know any actors. Actors are out there and stuff. And then it wasn't until the university that I worked at, I used to work at a university in Rock Hill, South Carolina, that we had some actors come in and visit us. And one of them was Jonathan Davidson and Chandler Parker, who was an indie actor. Mm-hmm. And he's been in things like Be Kind, Rewind, and some TV shows that were on at the time. And, you know, these are real actors, working actors in L.A. who were SAG actors who were doing things, you know, at a professional level. And they were just as easily approachable as anybody you would ever meet. I thought, wow, these guys are doing it. Maybe I can do it. And so I looked around the community that I lived in. And I actually went to Google and Googled, you know, how to be a working actor in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is the nearest big town to where I was. And the first thing that came up was a call for background extras for the film Dear John with Channing Tatum. And so they were having a scene they were filming the day before Thanksgiving. I think this was like 2010 maybe. And down in Charleston, South Carolina, where my parents live, I thought, hey, I could do this. And so they asked for a photograph. And so I took a selfie. You know, cameras are still fairly new at the time. And I think the Razor had just come out. So camera phones.
Yeah.
So I took a selfie and I sent it to the casting director, who was Tona Dahlquist, who handles most of the major television shows and films in the Carolinas. And she said, great, we want to book you for this. And so I came down the day before Thanksgiving, was there for, I think, 16 hours. We used for one big scene.
Whoa.
And that was it. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. We, you know, I saw the craft table. I saw Channing Tatum. I saw all the directors and the camera operators and everybody behind the scenes. And it always reminded me of shows like The Fall Guy with Lee Majors and other like behind-the-scenes things that you saw growing up in the 80s and 90s about, you know, making movies. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. And as soon as I came back to Charlotte, there was another casting call for Homeland, first season of Homeland. And so I submitted for that, too, because that was being filmed in Charlotte. And I went to Homeland. I was a background on that scene as well. And this was before I knew Manny Patinkin was going to be on Homeland. And, you know, we're doing the scene, and I see this man with this big, thick beard and kind of long, curly hair. And I thought, that guy looks so familiar. Who is that guy? And so I said, okay, Mr. Patinkin, you need to come over here and do your makeup now. I thought, Patinkin? Is that Manny Patinkin? And it was. And he was super approachable and very sweet to everybody. And, you know, my big claim to fame at that time was I got to do a scene standing next to him as a background, and I was hooked. And for the next couple of years, I did some other things here in Charlotte and stuff like that. And about 2013, I had a career change. I went from being an academic to really not doing anything. And I thought, well, you know, I could do more background work. So I started doing that almost full time, and I was in probably every single show and movie that they were filming in the Carolinas that year. I did Taking a Deborah Logan. Yes. I did a show called Reckless. I did just basically anything I could get my hands on and be in front of a screen.
Mm-hmm.
Tons and tons of indie films, short films, student films. I started getting more and more contacts. I started building up my connections in the industry. I started making a reel. I started taking classes. And eventually it turned into, I can make this into a viable career if I follow steps A, B, and C. And that's the most important thing. If you have a mentor and they're telling you, hey, A, B, and C is the direction and the steps you need to take, and you try and do C, B, and D, or you try to do A, B, and X, and try to jump to the finish line, it's not going to work out for you.
Right.
If you have a good mentor and they've been there ahead of you and they know what they're doing, then you should definitely listen to them. And for a long time, I didn't do that kind of stuff. I was kind of trying to do things my own way, and it wasn't until really last year that I said, okay, if I'm going to be serious about this, I need to do the things I know I'm supposed to do. And I buckled down and I did those. And as soon as that happened, I started booking work left and right, and I got really busy and super successful.
That's awesome. So do you mentor up-and-coming actors also, like to let them know, you know, people who just want to get started? Do you have someone that you can talk that they
or I
you do you make yourself available for them to talk to you?
I certainly do. I am not the most successful person I know in the industry, but I've definitely been there, and I've made a lot of mistakes. And I like to say, you know, the biggest teacher in life are the mistakes that you make and knowing about the shots you didn't take. You know, the whole Jordan thing about, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't make. So whenever I meet people, and I have a lot of friends who I've known over the years who are saying, hey, how do I get into acting? I say, oh, cool, it's really easy. You can become a background extra, and you're on set, and you're in the show. And how do I really do it? I'm like, well, you need to take classes, and no one wants to hear that. Because, you know, you just don't jump in and say, hey, I'm going to be a lawyer and go to the courthouse and start, you know, lawyering. You have to go to law school. And you can't be a doctor overnight, so you need to take classes. So I always recommend that. And I've got a few friends. I'm not going to say who they are because I'm not sure if they're ready to be put out there yet. But I have some friends of mine who have just started getting in this industry. And a really good friend of mine, a young lady who's very talented, has been listening to some of the advice that I've you know, been happy to give her, and she's starting to make some strides in the right direction. She recently moved to Atlanta, where there's a huge industry in the South. And so, I do make myself open to people who want to listen. And it's funny because, you know, occasionally I'll do background work just for fun and to make a little bit of side money on projects that I'm passionate about, like Mr. Mercedes in Charleston. And I met a young lady who was, you know, she was driving all over the state. I mean, she was getting up at, like, you know, she was going in to work on Mr. Mercedes, and she was there until, like, 2:30 in the morning. And she's like, now I got to drive to Atlanta and do a thing at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my goodness.
You're not going to get any sleep. You can't do this.
No.
You're going to be driving at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you're going to fall asleep and have a wreck.
Yeah, that's
There's a
dangerous.
Lot easier way of doing this. Yeah, it's super dangerous to do that kind of stuff. And I know I've been there. I've thought about doing it that way, and I've tried it that way, and it's not a successful path to go on. So, you know, I tell her to do things like, do student films. You know, look in your local area and find out ways that you can get a reel, and then take classes. And you know, think about who you are as an actor and what kind of roles you want to do and find out what's available near you. And that's the great thing about our era. You know, when we were kids, you know, in the 80s and 90s, these kinds of resources weren't really available to us. You know, you had to go to L.A. or New York or, like, you know, Miami.
Right, huge cities.
But because of the Internet, you can Google what's happening in my community. You can get into community plays. You can start putting things on YouTube. You know, all you need is a camera phone. And you can do your own content and make your own stuff, and you can get that out there. And if you're really savvy, you can monetize it, and you can actually make a good living as a YouTube celebrity. I mean, so the barriers of entry to being in film and even blogging are so much lower than they've ever been before. And really, there's so many opportunities for people to enjoy the media. You know, people are all looking at media on their phones, looking at them at gas stations, everywhere. There's video everywhere. And so there's a huge market and need for people who want to be in front of a camera, who know this is their calling in life, and who want to be able to get out there and say, hey, I have a story to tell. Let me help you tell the story.
Well, I'm glad you're helping up-and-coming actors and actresses because, you, like you said, you made the mistakes and you don't want them to have to do the same thing. Let them follow that ABC plan and it'll take them in the right direction. So what roles do you typically do, that you, you know, besides background when you are in film, what roles do you typically do or what do you want to do?
Well, my professional brand, and you can't see me by making air quotes right now, my quote brand unquote is dad. I do dad roles, and I like to be the quirky dad or the goofy dad, but mostly I've been the tragic dad. I mean, most of my dad roles have been in horror movies or movies where I end up getting hurt or killed, which is fun because I like that kind of stuff, and I take those kind of roles because they're fun to do, and I love being covered in blood. But really, you know, I like that because I'm also a parent in real life, and really there isn't a lot of things out there to help form and mold strong dads. You know, different communities have, you know, problems with male role models being available to boys and girls. And you know, my three kids are all adopted. They're all you know, biologically with my fiance, but I'm definitely their daddy, and I love them unconditionally, and so I relish being the dad type. I love being doing the dad roles. In fact, you know, most of the commercials that I do, I'm a dad in some capacity, and that's great because, you know,
I
dads
saw that,
are out there
that
and they
one.
Pays the bills.
The demo you did for the Toyota National Lampoon.
Oh yeah.
I love that one.
Thank you. That was a lot of fun. I bet. Yeah. I've been told my entire life I look like Chevy Chase, and so it's nice to be able to cash in on that for a little bit. And
you know what?
Chris Stevens, the director, that was great.
Yeah. That one, if I didn't know it was you, I would have thought you were him.
Oh, thank you.
You did. You looked just like him in that commercial.
Yeah. But yeah, I do. Those are my commercials. Those pay pretty well. I recently did one in Atlanta for a orthodontist conglomerate, and then I did another dad role for another electric co-op down here. And it's just, you know, I mean, I love it. It's great, and get to work with some talented young people and you know, talented other actors and producers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, I'm also interested too in writing about parenthood. I think, you know, it'd be great to start a dad blog, which is one of my goals for 2019 is to get a dad blog together and sort of just get out there, you know, learn what I'm learning and what I'm going through as a new parent, first time parent, and you know, where I can, you know, kind of like I do the acting coaching, and sort of help there and say, hey, look, these are mistakes I've made as a parent, and this is how I kind of got through these mistakes, and maybe you have something similar in your story, and create a community around that.
Right, because there's so many, there are a lot of dads out there. There, you know, there's lots of blogs for moms, but I'm sure there aren't many blogs for dads. Not many dads are blogging, but it'd be good for something to be out there for them to look at. I mean, even put funny stories, like how you prank your kids, or, you know, as they get a little older, how you embarrass them. That would be, you know, cool to have out there.
And my little girls, we have a 10-year-old boy and a three. Well, actually, now she's going to be four next month, and then we're going to have a 5-year-old. She just turned 5 2 days ago, and our party's tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yes, yeah, so when we get done with the interview, I got to get the house ready for the party. But the five-year-old, she's kind of a little diva. She really is. I mean, she's a beautiful little girl. Mm. She's got a huge head of black hair, and she's just so cute. And she likes to, you know, she'll throw out the pose real quick and be like, you know, throw up some peace sign or whatever. And she's just precocious, and she helps with my audition sometimes. Like, she'll help me get the camera set up and lighting set up, and, you know, she'll stand there and give me, you know, pointers and critiques and stuff. And so I think maybe if she ever wanted to get a future in the entertainment industry, I think she could go far with it at some point. That's totally up to her. I would never push her in that direction unless she wanted to.
That's what I was about to ask you. Would you put your, you know, your children in, like, things now at their age?
Excuse me. Well, you know, at 5 years old, I think, I mean, she certainly is smart enough to understand what's happening and know that we're playing pretend and what an audition is and everything. But, you know, the market that we live in, because, you know, we live in the Carolinas. We're out of North Carolina near Charlotte. And, you know, it would mostly be either be in Tennessee or Georgia. There are calls kids that age. And I work with lots of kids, you know, and a little bit older than five. And I think maybe, I think seven would be a good time for her to get into that. But there's unfortunately a lot of pitfalls for kid actors in the industry, especially in large markets like Los Angeles and New York. I know a couple stage moms and dads who will bring their kid up to New York occasionally for auditions and stuff, and
really go through, and it's
really hard. And it can be really hard for, you know, families to put a lot of energy and a lot of resources into doing that to get very little return. So I think it would have to be something sort of semi-casual, like, you know, every once in a while sort of thing. Because if she really wanted to, I'm sure she could do some modeling for, like, local department stores, that kind of stuff, if she wanted to. But if she was really passionate about it and that's something that she really, really wanted to do and she understood what it took, then, yeah, I think we could develop some resources towards that. But, you know, like anything, you know, there are parents who are savvy about the industry. And this goes back to what I was saying earlier about mistakes people make. There really are a lot of predators out there. And I don't mean just... you know, the sexual deviance and the child molesters.
Right,
there is, if you look at the series Secret Hollywood, or, like, I think it was like the Invisible Hollywood, there, you know, there's a lot of really bad people out there who will take advantage of families who want to get their kids famous. You know, they want to make money off their kids or whatever their motivations are. And you just have to be careful about who the kids' mentors are, and you have to be around them. You know, make sure that, you know, I'm part of the Darkness to Light program. I took some of the Darkness to Light classes, which is classes that are geared towards identifying sexual abuse to minors. And the classes that we take, you know, will sort of tell you, hey, these are situations that children find themselves in that predators look for, and how to be careful in situations like that. Like, you know, who are their coaches? Who are their pastors? Who are their teachers? Who are people who are volunteers for scouting or what have you? You know, these are warning signs if your kids are coming to you and saying, hey, you know, I suddenly feel withdrawn, or I suddenly feel like, you know, I'm scared to go do this thing. And so if she wanted to get involved in acting, I would be happy to help her with that. But you'd have to just look for, you know, the right situation that would be good for everybody and not just, you know, what's best for you, what you think. You know, if you, I guess it depends on what the motivations are for other people.
What got you involved in that program, the Darkness to Light program?
Just caring about my kids' welfare, about the girls and Nevada. Nevada's our 10-year-old, about their welfare. I also take I'm also involved in another program called Triple P, which is the Positive Parenting Program. And, you know, it's basically, I just wanted to be the best dad I can possibly be. And
that's awesome.
Taking those kinds of classes, you know, really helped me get that kind of mindset about being a good dad and being a good parent. I think, you know, if you have the opportunity to take a class to be a better parent, you should take it.
Yeah. And see, this is why you need to be blogging. You blog this stuff and let other dads know about these programs, and they can look them up in their area. And then, hey, and if not, then maybe they want to start one in their area. But this is great.
Right.
This is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
So I see you just recently signed up for, or are, you're going to be auditioning for your dad role, a dad role.
Yeah, that was what I did yesterday. It was a commercial. Yeah,
okay.
I did that yesterday. Yeah, I did that yesterday. It was a lot of fun. I get like three or four of those a week. Just I like to go into them and just have a good time with them and everything. But you know, that's sort of the social media aspect of it. And one of the things that you have to do these days with acting is you really got to be out there and be your big your own biggest cheerleader and get on Instagram and get on YouTube and get on Twitter and, you know, sending things out to casting directors and market material.
Right.
And a lot of actors, it's funny because I think there's some resources out there you can find, but I think one of the biggest problems that actors face when they get started is they don't treat it like a business. They don't realize that they're the CEOs of their own company and they're responsible for marketing. Like, you know, they say if you have an agent, your agent probably, you know, you can't sit by the phone and let your agent call you. You have to go out there and find your own work and you have to do your own marketing. And that's where Instagram comes in and that kind of thing. And, you know, get out there and promote yourself and just be like, hey, when it comes time for you to book a dad role in the Carolinas, I'm your go-to guy. You know, position yourself to be the best actor you could possibly be. And we sometimes define success as being in the best position to get an audition as possible. And I get a lot of auditions, you know. I close a few of them, but I also believe in I get the roles that I'm meant to get.
Right. That's why I asked you, like, what's your role when you're the dad? So.
Exactly.
But you know that role, that's even better.
Exactly. And I try to make the two, you know, my real life and my acting life as congruent as possible because one of the things that makes a great performance, at least in my experience, is authenticity. And so if you are in front of a screen and you have a script, you can make that script into your own story and saying, hey, this is me acting in this capacity as this character. Like, what would I do in this situation? That's more authentic than just pretending to be somebody you're not. So
right.
I think when you get these kinds of roles. Right.
Those parenting classes also probably help you in some way by doing those roles too.
Exactly. And also just interacting with the girls and our son, you know, he's a great kid and they're great girls and just, you know, being around them constantly. And it's funny. Pardon me. What's funny about the girls is that they're constantly asking me to tell them stories. And so it's like an improv class because I'll make up these stories on the spot about things I see. Like, you know, I've got this great little story that I tell them about these two witches that live in our town. And one of them is named Honestina Leaper and the other is named Lady Cacklegrass. And those are names I pulled out of like street signs and just things I see on our trips to school. And I'll tell them these stories. I'll make up these stories. And then, like, a week later, they'll say, hey, Wayne, tell us a story about Lady Cacklegrass and the Wookalars and how they stole this kid's bus and turned them all into toads. And I'm thinking, when did I tell you that story? I don't remember any of that. And so I have to think really hard, and then I tell it, and that's not how it goes. I'm like, oh, okay. So I think I'm going to start recording these stories, and just so I know.
Start writing them down.
Yeah, keep the canon going so that I don't mess up the story for him, because it's like improv, and I'm thinking, top of my feet, like, hey, okay, yeah, this and this and this. Okay, that's how it goes. Which is a good advice for fledgling actors. Take an improv class. That's always helpful.
Oh, But that also helps your children with imagination. You know, a lot of kids don't really have imagination like when we were little kids and we played with, you know, our toys and we created this whole world just by playing. You know, it's so much internet and games, and kids don't really go outside and play those types of games anymore. So for you to be telling them these stories off the fly, that's you using your imagination, and then you help them. You say, hey, tell me that story. They'll tell it back to you, or you create your own story, and that just starts it from there.
Exactly. Yeah, and we try to limit the amount of, you know, we're not a video game house. We don't have an NES or really any video games here. I mean, you know, we most of our media consumption is via, you know, Netflix and YouTube. Not really a cable household. I used to be, but, you know, I mean, there's only so much on cable that you can get into. And then it's just, you know, stuff you can wait to come on Netflix. But they're big fans of Come Play With Me. And give them a shout out, but Come Play With Me on YouTube, the Anya and Elsa, the little toddler versions of Anna and Elsa. And so my kids love that series. And it's really just, you know, it's a couple of kids and their dad playing with their dolls.
Really?
And, you know, my kids love that. And so it's, yeah, that's like a big thing on YouTube is people, you know, YouTube entrepreneurs who get toys and they play with their toys.
Yeah,
and
I saw
the kids
those.
Love
I saw those,
them.
Yeah.
Right. So we're kind of doing that. You know, we're watching that show and then we're playing with our toys and kind of like, you know, making our own little worlds and stuff. But it's cool for them to see somebody had a creative idea and translated that idea into you know, some media, and they put that media out there and they either monetized it or they distribute it or they build up an audience. And if my kids get that entrepreneurial, you know, mindset early on, then they'll be successful when they get to the business world. Hopefully, ideally.
I remember my cousins, I don't have any children, and I find out stuff through my cousins who have small children. They were playing with the iPad, and I was like, what are they watching? Because I kept hearing, you know, talking, and then I'd hear this crackle, crackle, crackle. Oh, they're watching this person on YouTube open up toys. I'm like, really? That's a thing?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
And,
yeah. I think we did that for 20 minutes this morning.
See? And I think like last year, the year before, they said that person made like $1 million doing that.
Yeah.
In one year.
And it's funny because they usually get sponsorship from the toy companies. That's one of the revenue streams that they use to make money. And it's funny because, you know, back in the 90s, we couldn't do this.
No.
There's public access and VHS cassettes and stuff. And I used to make videos for my friends, but not like this. No, there's no way to get them out there in that capacity.
My goodness. So we have about 13 minutes left. I do have one question that I try to ask the actors that we bring on the show. So if you're going to do a movie or a movie, name your top three actors that you'd want to do this movie with.
That's a fun question.
Top three.
I'm gonna do a really famous actor that everyone loves and knows because he's been a huge inspiration to me, and that's Danny Trejo. He is just my favorite guy. His backstory, his origin, his, you know, path to redemption, his 300 and plus roles, his, you know, unique. Danny Trejo-ness, he is just the man, and I love everything he does.
He's
and he
everywhere.
Would be my favorite guy to work with. I know, he's great, and he's so talented and just quirky and funny and violent and weird and just everything I like. So Danny Trejo would be one of my top ones. Kind of like Chris Pratt because he also has kind of a weird backstory. Like, he used to live in a van in Hawaii years ago and just said, hey, I can be he's got a great backstory too. You know, Danny Trejo was a former prison. You know, he's a former inmate. Terribly violent past, bad drugs and alcohol. You know, redeemed himself, got into NA. You know, got a sponsor. You know, became a became a man of faith, and then transformed his life and became successful. Chris Pratt, also a huge man of faith. Used to be homeless. You know, used to kind of coast around, and then he realized, hey, I could do this. And let me follow these A, B, and C steps and really get, you know, a successful career. Now he's one of the biggest actors out there. Probably my third choice.
Yeah, I follow him now on Instagram.
Chris
Pratt. He posts some crazy videos sometimes.
Yeah. He's a nut. He's super funny and weird and talented, too, kind of like Trejo. Excuse me. My third choice is somebody who's a lot less well-known but also equally talented. And that's my friend William Mark McCullough. From Savannah, Georgia. He is a lot like me. He kind of had a very similar start in this region, and he you know, kind of did a few things for years, and finally said, hey, I need to do these A, B, and C steps. And he's really where I get that idea from, and then I'll be successful. And he has been. His biggest role recently is he was a supporting role in the Tom Cruise movie American Made.
Yeah, I see that. He's done quite a bit in 2017.
Yeah. He's a friend of mine. He and I really haven't hung out much, but he's definitely been a mentor type person to me. Just because he's also one of those actors who'll pass it along and say, hey, if you need advice, let me help you with that. He teaches acting classes, and Savannah's not far from where I grew up, and so I've done a lot of work in Savannah, and you know, we have similar friends and such like that. So William Mark McCullough, Chris Pratt, Danny Trejo, my top three.
Awesome. And I'm looking at his
like...
I'm looking at his IMDb page, and he's been doing stuff since 2011. He's done quite a bit.
Yeah, he really has. He is somebody that's probably inspired me as much, if not anybody else. And I would say probably if I could do one more actor, I would say another friend of mine, Gabriel Manick, who's from Charlotte, North Carolina. He and I actually started as background on a TV show called Banshee that came out on Cinemax a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Gabriel is super talented as well. And he got a few breaks. He was known for being Archie on the AMC series Halt and Catch Fire. He's a great, approachable guy, super down to earth. You know, he and I have done a bunch of indie films, you know, kind of coming up together.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could do a fourth person, I would throw Gabriel in there as well, because he's a good guy as well. But we could all do something like, I don't know, like 12 Angry Men, you know, remake of that film or something.
Right.
You know, something fun. Yeah, like Flight of the Phoenix or something crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, he has quite an arsenal of filmography himself. So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Thanks.
So you want
to... If you were an actor, who would you be in a film with?
I have no idea. I like everybody. And I like... I think we answered this question the last time we were talking about it, and I was like, old school Al Pacino.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's just something. I don't know. I'd like to play with Al Pacino, somebody like that.
Yeah.
Or can't think of the name off the top of my head right now. There's two others. I can see their face, but I can't think of their name. I lost them.
Al Pacino in the Godfather movies is the definition of OG. The original gangster, like the real gangster, you know, up here with Marlon Brando and James Caan.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we
have
movies
like Dog Day Afternoon and stuff, yeah.
I didn't see that one. I hadn't seen that one.
But Dog Day Afternoon is a crazy movie. It's pretty intense. And for the time period that it came out in the mid-70s,
mm-hmm.
it is... you know, it's. I'm not even gonna get into it because we could spend a whole show about talking about Dog Day Afternoon, but it's worth seeing. It really is.
Okay.
And it's young Al Pacino
too.
I'll have to look that up. It's like Serpico era Al Pacino.
Okay. You want to tell us about your ID show?
Yes, I do actually. Thanks for mentioning that. So talking about dad roles and tragic dad roles, Investigation Discovery. We just aired my episode called The Silencer on the TV series Murder Calls. And I play Craig Nell, who was a, you know, loving, devoted father to two wonderful little girls. And during a custody dispute with his second wife, well, actually with his first wife, but second baby mama, you know, he actually, you know, during that time period, he was murdered. And the mystery is, you know, what happened to him. And I got to play him. It was, you know, my first lead role in a series like that. And, you know, it came out on the 10th, and so it's available on demand now. And you can watch it on YouTube.
I gotta watch
YouTube Investigation Discovery, Murder Calls, or on the Murder Calls, you know, website. And, you know, I'd be happy if you saw it and took a look at it and be like, hey, he's a pretty good, you know, dad character.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch it. And I'll let Mara know. But she wanted to apologize because her call dropped, and she's going to get back with you so she can get your information and get it posted on the blog on Monday.
Great.
Yeah. So besides the ID, anything else up and coming for you?
Yeah. Me and a bunch of independent filmmakers in Columbia, South Carolina, which is, you know,
mm-hmm.
part near my home base of operations, put out this really incredible indie film called Asriel, and it's going to be premiering the 28th of this month. So I think in a couple weeks, I believe. But it'll be out there. We're going to hit it into the festival circuit, and then we're going to put it out there online after you know, a few months. But
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll be sending links out to that. But it's called Asriel, and I have a supporting role, not a dad role, really just a little bit of a departure from me. This guy, I don't want to give you too much information about it ahead of time, but it's,
okay.
Certainly an interesting film. It's not like anything I've done before, and it's a noir crime indie grindhouse film. So maybe something you think Dane Trejo might be in. It's going to be
right?
Very much different. Right, yeah. So kind of violent, kind of sexy, kind of weird, but also at the same time an incredible piece, because a lot of people that were involved in it were people who were just beginning their acting careers and who are not, you know, really – who want to be actors, but, you know, haven't had that formal training. And so it's going to be very unique. It's a follow-up to another indie film called The Theta Girl that came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
That I was one of the casting directors for. And so I got to be involved in this sequel to it as a guy named Myron, who's a drug dealer. So that's coming out end of the month. That's something that we did previously. And, you know, I've just got a slew of commercials that I'll be airing, you know, anytime now, here and there or wherever. And, you know, I think I'm going to do that blog we were talking about and maybe get that ready by Father's Day.
That's
a good time to put that out
there.
That
would be great.
Yeah.
That's the perfect time to put that out there. Yeah, you're busy, man.
Yeah.
I can't keep
I try.
Up.
You guys stay busy in this industry.
Yeah, you do, I guess, because you have to keep yourself out there. And so people can know your name and your face. You have to brand yourself. So I understand
exactly.
That. You want to give your information?
I appreciate the opportunity today.
Oh, yeah.
I do. One second.
Okay.
Excuse me. Allergies. They're crazy.
Allergies are crazy right now.
Yes. You know, my point of contact would be Lane Lovegrove Actor. That's at gmail.com. So Lane Lovegrove Actor. That's how I separate all my acting emails from everything else. And also IMDb. You can find me on IMDb. And I'm represented by Beth Saunders at Evolution. And, you know, I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. Simple Lane Lovegrove. My name, you know, it's out there. You can find it easy that way.
Yes. It's really easy to find. You have to look him up. You have to watch the show on ID, Murder Calls. You can also find it on YouTube. You just YouTube Murder Calls, right?
Right, and the episode is called The Silencer.
The Silencer, yes. And then you have this indie film coming out soon. You're going to be posting about that. That's why you have to follow him so you can find out about this indie film named Arsenal.
Or Azrael.
Supporting role. Azrael.
Yeah, Azrael, right. Arsenal was William Ivor McCullough's film. Yep.
I know.
A lot of A names. It's okay.
Yeah, I was just looking at that one. Sorry. Azrael.
Yeah, watch Mark's film Arsenal too. That's a good movie as well. He'll appreciate the shout out as well.
Right. He'll have to come on the show the next time you come. You have to tell him about it.
Yeah. I will.
So I thank you. Thank you, Mara and I both thank you for coming on the show and taking time out on
welcome,
your Saturday
Nikki.
To talk to us.
No problem. I appreciate the opportunity.
Keep us posted. Yeah, keep us posted. Tag us and things so we can forward it out, you know, on our pages and people could see it on our pages when you tag us. You never know
yeah,
who
most
may
definitely.
See it. That's what we say. Yeah.
Exactly.
So
and I'm
going to
check out the Wayne
Saturday.
Stuff, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
It's really, really just that when you look at it, you're not going to believe that it was digitally done.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to
it's
that.
Good. Yeah.
All right. Well, you have a happy Saturday.
Thank you. I will.
And,
I will.
And a good rest of the week when it comes up on Monday.
Oh, yeah. You too.
Yeah. Thanks. All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Just want to thank everyone for listening today. Please follow marpros.blog. We'll have all the contact info for these individuals that were on this Saturday. You can see their work. You can watch their films and look at Dwayne's beautiful artwork. Look at Lane's show that's coming out. And just follow them both. Follow us. Thanks. Have a great weekend.